Well, this evening we want to have a look at a passage which is hugely familiar to you. No doubt something you actually learned to memorize off by heart when you were in Sunday school. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, what I want to start by saying is that we mustn't just brush things like this aside because they are familiar to us. These verses are incredibly important for you and for me today for three reasons. I'd like to just briefly mention those. And the first one is that Jesus is frequently referred to as our shepherd in the scriptures. In the Old Testament, well, in this passage here, Psalm 23, in the Gospels, particularly John chapter 10, those of you who know that, "I am the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep." And also in the epistles, the Lord Jesus is referred to as the shepherd of his flock, which is the believers. So that's the first reason, a good enough reason, I think, to unpack a verse like this and really try and chew on it and understand it. The second reason is that it's so true that the gospel, the cross, is the center of our faith. And without that, we couldn't even come and worship. We couldn't even stand before the Lord at all. But the Lord takes it further than that as well. You see, he wants us to have a strong relationship with him. A strong relationship where he's our shepherd, he's leading, and we're a following. So yeah, we get saved. But he also calls us to become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second reason. Third reason, and maybe the guys will kick me out after this, but I really do believe it's a deep, deep need in the church today. People who not only will profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but people who will actually do the faith. And that's really the challenge for you and for me this evening, I think, from this message. What does it mean to walk with the Lord? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus, for the Lord Jesus to be our shepherd? Lots could be said about Jesus as our shepherd, but we're just going to look at two verses from Psalm 23. And Abby, you can give us the next slide over there. I'm going to read them for us. This is from the New Standard, New International Version. Just the first three verses. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." I think those kind of words at the bottom are kind of a summary of those verses. The things that we need: still green pastures, still waters, and paths of righteousness. And so we're going to have a look at that this evening. You can take the next slide there, where we actually look at verse 2. If you've got your Bibles over there, verse 2, it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." I would have expected it to say, "He makes me chow the grass in green pastures." No, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Peter knew all about this, Jesus' concern to be his shepherd. And he wrote quite a lot about it in his epistles. Listen to some of these things here. About the need for Jesus to be our shepherd and about the need for health and growth in our Christian lives. To be healthy Christians and to be growing Christians. Listen to what he said over here. In 2 Peter 3, verse 18, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's interesting that Peter writes these things particularly. He also says in 1 Peter 2:2, he says, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." So there's just in those short epistles, two references to growth and to health in the Christian life. And we know, and we'll be seeing that this evening, that the Lord Jesus as our shepherd is the only one who can lead us in that path of growth and of health. Sheep by nature are very wayward, fussy, and skittish creatures. Those of you who know anything about farming or nature will know about that. Just like us. Remember the verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we as human beings, when it comes to spiritual stuff, we're also skittish. We also go our own way, and we are wayward and we are fussy. Now, I've been reading the works or the writings of a guy called Philip Kelly. I don't know if any of you know Philip Kelly, but Philip Kelly writes from his personal experience as a shepherd. For many years, he was a shepherd in Canada, I think it was, where he worked with big flocks of sheep. And then he became a minister and wrote these books as well. So Philip Kelly tells us a lot of things. And the first one is that in order to grow and to be healthy, four things need to be eliminated from the life of the sheep. And so I want to depart from this detailed text over here at the moment and just look at what it could mean when the Lord says, he makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside still waters. Now, Philip Kelly says the first thing that needs to be eliminated in sheep in order for them to thrive is fear. Fear needs to be eliminated. Fear can be good and it can be bad. Can be a very good thing, but fear should never dominate our lives. Because a life of fear will be a life that retards progress in spiritual things, in the Christian life. A fearful sheep will never pasture and lie down and rest. A thing which a sheep needs. They can't be going all the time. They will never do that when they are fearful. Keller in his book tells the story, I think it's a fantastic story, about some friends that came out to the farm where they were to visit him. And in their car they had a little Pekingese pup. Well, you know, Pekingese dogs are small, but I don't know what pups are like. They must be about that size. And he said, as they came and opened the door of the car, this thing jumped out. And the sheep which were nearby, 200 sheep, got such a fright that they belted off to the furthest corner of the pasture because of anything unusual, anything small, anything yappy in life. They took fright and they ran away to the furthest corner of the pasture. Some Christians, and here's a bit of application, some Christians are really afraid and worried about the wrong things. You can put it this way, worried about the Pekingese puppies of this life. What people would say or think of me is one of the fears that people have. In fact, it even governs our lives, what people would say and think if I wore the wrong fashions. Financial loss for those of us who are a little bit older, and particularly those of us who are living off savings now. The stock markets or the interest rate. Physical safety, and that's a good one in a sense. But you know, you can be obsessed by that and not go out at all at night and not do this and not do that because of this obsession of fear. The future of South Africa. Job security, or perhaps even finding the right husband or wife, just for the sake of you young guys over here. I'm sure you're praying about that already, aren't you? But don't let it obsess you. Don't let it so fill your mind that you'll be like the sheep that ran away from a Pekingese. You see, the problem is that fear, when it obsesses us, the love of the things of the Lord are crowded out. And this kind of thing occupies our minds so much that growth is impeded. Now that's serious. And in fact, sheep too. While they're afraid and skittish, they won't graze, nor will they lie down and rest, the very things that they need to grow and to become strong and to become healthy. But Keller goes on and he says, when the shepherd stands among the sheep, or even when they hear his voice, it reminds you of John 10, doesn't it? When they hear his voice, they immediately settle down and rest and graze again. So are you perhaps obsessed by fear of something? Is there something big in your life that's occupying your energy and your attention? Second thing that Keller reckons prevents the sheep from thriving is to eliminate rivalry. I found this very fascinating, that not only are sheep very skittish, but they are extremely competitive with one another. There we go. He probably sat for years and years and watched these things. Apparently, they are often really cruel to each other. The older sheep and the ones first in the, not the pecking order, he calls it the butting order. Because when that butting order is breached, the older rams and the older ewes will butt the little ones out of the way, away from the food, away from the water, or whatever it might be, mercilessly. And when the rivalry levels in the flock are at a high pitch, the sheep are skittish and won't settle, won't lie down in green pastures, won't even eat the grass, let alone do anything else, said Keller. Found that very interesting. I've lost my place. There we go. But whenever the shepherd comes into view, isn't this awesome, guys? Whenever the shepherd comes into view, they settle down and they stop butting each other and pushing each other around. Don't you think that sometimes in the church we're a little bit like that, showing rivalry at different levels, maybe amongst the deacons, maybe even pastors, I think, sometimes rival with each other and compare themselves with one another. And sometimes we even, quite frankly, quite mean to each other. It happens in families as well. When these things, these levels are high, people, sheep, are discontented, restless, lose weight, lose conditions, just like often we get in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he is near, we need to keep him in mind. Things are different. Again, another scripture I think that just backs this one up. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so clings so closely. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's the essence over here. Eliminating rivalry. And so often when the shepherd is near or when he speaks, there is peace amongst the sheep. The next thing is bugs need to be eliminated as well. Abby, if you can give us the next one over there. Now the bugs, many different bugs infest sheep. There's ticks, there are bot flies, nasal flies, and these things make the sheep extremely irritable, and they don't rest and they don't graze properly. They're constantly rubbing their heads against trees and trying to get rid of these ticks and these things in their fur. The shepherd is the only one who can sort out this problem. I hope you're getting the picture here. Man, this is what it means to walk with Jesus. The shepherd is the only one. He can rid them of those pests by dipping, by applying insecticide in different ways. But also he needs constantly to examine them. And apparently what the guys used to do, you remember the going out to pasture every day? They would walk past the shepherd and he would not only count them, but he would check them out for things. Isn't that awesome? You walk with Jesus. You spend time with the Lord. He'll check you out, guys. And he will find those things which shouldn't be there. And he'll help you to get rid of them. Jesus, our shepherd too, is the only one who can get rid of these spiritual bugs in our lives. What are some of them? Bad habits, unforgiveness, pride. Whew. That's probably the worst one in the church, I think. And the tragedy is we get proud of being good. That sounds an oxymoron, if there was one. Maybe even hardcore stuff like porn and drugs and other things that drag you down. David was a shepherd. King David was a shepherd. And he knew about the dangers of bugs. And this is what he wrote in Psalm 139. He said, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Lord, check through my fur, through my wool, and see if there's anything that shouldn't be there. Lord, pluck it out. Help me to get rid of it. If you need deliverance tonight, maybe there's some bug in you that you need deliverance from. The Lord Jesus is the only one who can help you. He'll get you to do certain stuff, but he is the only one who will give you the strength to do it. Then also hunger and thirst need to be eliminated in order for the sheep to rest and to be healthy and to grow. Also in the Christian life. And you know what the tragedy is? That many Christians don't even realize that they are spiritually hungry and thirsty. All that happens is things like miserableness and dissatisfaction and maybe even depression set in upon them. And they don't realize that going and eating from the Lord, eating from the Lord's hand, is the very thing that can help them. And the problem is that the more we neglect feeding and drinking from the pastures of the Lord, the worse these shepherds become, the worse these conditions actually become. We need good grass and water in order to grow spiritually. And of course we know that the Lord has provided for that. I mean, in a sense, this concept of the shepherd covers everything in the whole spiritual life. We know that he has provided for our nourishment and our refreshment, don't we? His word. And that's why we emphasize Bible reading and time with the Lord, not because it's something you've got to do, it's a discipline you've got to do, but it's being with the shepherd. It's saying, "Lord, look at my wool and sort out the mess that's there in my heart." His Holy Spirit also helps us in these things. The church, being in church. Hey guys, it's so awesome to see you. I thought you'd all be lying sort of knocked out after summer camp. But it's so good to see you in church today. It helps. It's important to be in church and rub off the corners, as it were, of our Christian experience with other believers around about us. And then, of course, other believers. These are the things that God has given us. But it takes a deliberate effort to benefit from these things. We know that, and that's our part. He says, follow, and we have to obey. That's literally what it means. Our shepherd says, follow. And of course, remaining close to him, obeying him, abiding in him, then we bear much fruit. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit, cannot be healthy, cannot grow, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me." And so, guys, that's the lesson. We want to be healthy and be growing. As it says in verse 2, there's a lot there. Eliminating fear, rivalry, bugs, thirst. I wonder if David, as he wrote the psalm, didn't think these thoughts because he too had been with sheep. and knew how wayward they were, and knew how skittish they were, and how much they needed the shepherd. And so he wrote these things, and we get them today. But the second thing, Abby, you can go a little further, is verse 2. Not only is the shepherd there for health and for growth, but for restoration and to lead us onto higher ground. Let me read there verse 3 again. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Now, did you guys know? I didn't know this until I read this book, man. I'll give you the title of these books later if you're interested. But did you know that sheep sometimes roll over onto their backs and cannot get up again by themselves? Did you know that? Yeah, did you? You must be a farmer's girl. Well, I didn't know that, but apparently it happens. And when that happens, the shepherds have the word, the sheep is cast. I think that's very significant, cast down. But the sheep is cast. They literally lie there and kick on their backs and they cannot right themselves again. And Keller says the reason why sheep do that, there's quite a few reasons why sheep do this. He says they're looking often for a nice soft spot. And you know, you hear the grass is real long, and so they lie down, and then they roll over, and then they can't get up because their legs just kick like that, and they can't get up at all. But not only that, he said when a sheep is overweight, too fat, if any of you guys need dieting, it's not aimed at you, I promise you. Or when there's too much wool, in other words, too much intake and too little outgiving, the sheep can become cast and it lies down on its back, useless. Sometimes, as believers, we become cast as well, don't we? You ever been through a time like that when you're like, you messed actually? You're in a bad place. You know you need the restoring power of the Lord. You're down and out, it seems. Well, just like the sheep have to be put up on their feet by the shepherd. There's no, another sheep can't help them. Only the shepherd can help them to stand up on their feet again, brothers and sisters. So we need the restoring power and grace of God in our lives as well. No wonder it says in our verse, he restores my soul. And I wonder if David didn't think of the cast sheep when he wrote that. There are times in our lives where we just need to be restored. We've gone too far on a path of waywardness. He, Jesus, restores our souls. The sad thing is that it's often the same sheep that get cast over and over again, Keller tells us. Well, I suppose because they're too fat, maybe. He even spoke about one ewe that was pregnant. And of course, the further the pregnancy went, the more she struggled to keep upright. I suppose lay down to try and get some energy. Next thing, she was on her back kicking. And he knew that he had to go and help her. But you see, sheep are creatures of habit as well. They make the same mistake over and over again. Does that sound familiar? Well, it does to me. They love to remain in familiar places. They love to follow each other along paths. Keller even says that when they're left to their own devices, and maybe you guys know that, they don't move on to new pastures, even if new pastures are available. They follow the same old trails, a whole line of them along the same old path, until that path is a rut, an ugly rut on the side of the hillside. He says also that the sheep will even graze if they're left in one pasture. They'll graze and graze and graze the grass until even the roots are pulled out. And so that hillside where they should have been finding pasture and being renewed and healthy and strong and growing becomes a desert, a wasteland, an eroded hillside. And he adds, infected with parasites. resulting in sick sheep. Now, this is a huge lesson for you and for me as well. And Keller says, the single biggest safeguard for this overgrazing is that the shepherd would plan moves to new pastures. What often would happen during the winter months, they would be down in the valleys, but during the summer months when the weather was fair, they would be taken up to higher ground, to higher pastures. Moving to higher ground. And he calls the sheep to do that. He calls his sheep, and they obey and they follow him. Listen again to John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Isn't the Lord good? Isn't he awesome the way he looks after us? And I don't know where you guys are at today. But maybe you're in a rut spiritually. You haven't done much feeding of your soul as you should have. Maybe even you're cast down, lying on your back, kicking madly. Come to the shepherd. What an awesome picture this psalm gives us. Just those two verses over there. By the way, you can hit the last one there, Abby. I think that's the last one. There we go. There's this need to keep moving, isn't it? It's so important for us as Christians to keep moving, to keep growing in order to keep healthy. And the wonderful thing is that just like the shepherd knows his sheep by name, the Lord knows you and me by name. And he has planned a trajectory for your life, a trajectory of growth and health and blessing. And he calls you to follow that. If you find yourself in a state of being cast, he will restore you. He calls you to lead you on to higher ground. I think the challenge for you and for me, and really it is a challenge, we want to be Christians that are going to do the faith. We've got to learn to hear and obey him. And we've got to learn to rise to the joy and the excitement of the Lord doing something new in our lives. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's the idea there. He leads me in new paths to learn new tricks when I had old bad habits. He leads us into new ways. And he, the shepherd, does that. We know that there's stuff we need to do. But he is the one who is our shepherd. So as we just close and we prepare our hearts perhaps for Paul closing our meeting this evening, a couple of questions for you and for me. Are you thriving as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you struggling? Are you a jittery Christian? Are you a Christian perhaps that's too fat, too comfortable, too selfish? Perhaps you're struggling with fear, maybe even with a legitimate fear, with rivalry, with bugs in your life. You're getting thinner and thinner because of your failure to abide in the shepherd. And that's what Jesus offers us. Can you say tonight, the Lord is my shepherd? The good shepherd, he wants to clean you up. He wants to clean me up. He wants to lead you to a better place. Why don't you go home tonight? And this is a challenge. This is homework, guys, homework time. Good teachers always give homework at the end of a class. Here it is. Go home. Challenge to you. Go home tonight. Get on your knees again. Say to the Lord, Lord, you are my shepherd. Please sort me out. Please grow me. Remove the bugs and teach me to follow you and abide in you. Amen.